KVGC News Time, 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. Time for a look at the news for a Wednesday, 12th day of September for 2018. Well, both the Amador County Sheriff and District Attorney will be receiving pay increases. At Tuesday's meeting of the Amador County Board of Supervisors, the board agreed to a request from Sheriff Martin Ryan and DA Todd Reby to increase pay for both positions. Under the current county pay structure, both positions make less than their subordinates, with the sheriff making less than both the undersheriff and three sheriff captains, while the DA makes less than both his chief investigator and chief deputy DA. The proposed increase would pay the sheriff 5% more than the undersheriff currently makes, or an increase from $130,000 to $152,000 per year, and the DA would see a pay increase from $136,000 to $152,000 per year. In other business, the board approved a package of new development regulations that were agreed to in a settlement with the Foothill Conservancy, which had sued to block the adoption of the county's general plan. The board also adopted the county final budget for the 2018-19 fiscal year and directed county staff to gather information for the creation of a new economic development coordinator position for the county.
A proposal to rezone over 1,000 acres of land outside the city of Ione has been tabled by the County Planning Commission to allow for additional environmental review. Meeting Tuesday night, the commission voted unanimously to halt consideration of a proposed rezone, which would have allowed land west of Ione to be developed in a variety of intense uses ranging from scrap yards to oil refineries, until a detailed study of the environmental impacts was conducted. Now, both the Foothill Conservancy and residents who live nearby the property in question urged this course of action, citing concern over potential health impacts from heavy industrial uses. The proposed rezone had previously been continued at the June and August Planning Commission meetings.
And the CHP has still not released the name of the Sutter Creek woman who died at the scene of a three-vehicle collision yesterday morning. According to the CHP, the incident happened about 8 o'clock at the intersection of Upper Jackson Valley Road and Highway 88. Alexandria Lane of Valley Springs pulled into Highway 88, not seeing the oncoming Sutter Creek woman. She struck the woman's car. That sent the woman's car into the opposite lane, where she was struck by an oncoming vehicle driven by a Stockton man. The woman was ejected from the vehicle and pronounced dead at the scene. The Stockton man was taken to a hospital, suffering minor injuries. CHP says drug and or alcohol are not a contributing factor in the collision.
A San Andreas man suffered serious injury in a sedan versus big rig accident Monday evening. According to Highway Patrol, close to 5:45 in the evening, Jay Stufflett of San Andreas, driving his Ford Focus west on Beverlyn Lane at an undetermined speed, approaching the intersection with Highway 49. Clifford Stormis of Grants Pass, Oregon, was driving his Kenworth north on 49 at the speed limit, approaching the intersection. Stufflett entered onto 49 without yielding the right-of-way to Stormis. Stormis, unable to avoid a collision, the front of the Kenworth impacted the driver's side of the Ford, causing serious injuries to Stufflett and his passenger, Terry Nykirk of Sonora. Now, both Stufflett and Nykirk were flown for treatment. One-way traffic control in effect for about 2 hours for investigation and scene cleanup. Alcohol and or drugs not considered a factor in the collision.
Well, this is National Suicide Prevention Week, and today in part two of the four-part series exploring the high suicide rate in Amador County, Capital Public Radio's healthcare reporter Sammy Keola looks at the heightened risk for suicide among the county's teenage population.
Liz Larson leads me down a narrow hallway to the bedroom where she spends most of her time. The 15-year-old warns me it's a mess.
So bad.
Her mom, Stacy Larson, is teasing about the sorry state of affairs in here. Some parents would be angry, but this mother-daughter pair had to work out a new and more lenient arrangement after a cry for help turned the family dynamic on its head earlier this year.
Unfortunately, we got a wake-up call, a very direct wake-up call.
Liz slipped into a funk at the start of the last school year. She was sleeping a lot, and she didn't want to eat or talk to friends. Stacy thought it was normal teen stuff. And then in January, Liz stumbled out of her bedroom. The severity of the situation became very clear.
She couldn't talk. She was just shaking.
Liz had swallowed half a bottle of Zoloft in an attempt to end her life. It's something a lot of teens think about. And in a rural place, the data suggests they're more likely to go through with it. A major national study shows that youth suicide rates are twice as high in rural areas than in cities due to stigma and a lack of services. Nadine Magano works with young people at a nonprofit in Amador. She says adults need to get in front of a suicide death and offer resources immediately. If they don't, a school or an entire town could experience something called suicide contagion.
It's a real threat. The outcome of it depends on how it's handled.
Whether it's a celebrity or a classmate, Magana says glorifying the recently deceased is what makes it dangerous.
There's always all the good memories that come out and all the good thoughts and all the good things, and that's a normal part of the death process. But if there's other youth that are feeling in the way that that person may have been feeling, they may see that as a positive end to their suffering.
Her group has been working with the local school district on how to intervene after a suicide. She also tries to get kids to talk about this stuff before they get to a breaking point. Liz's attempt was mostly related to school stress. She doesn't think she can go back yet, so she's recovering at home.
Walking out of my room is hard because I'll get, like, just a bunch of anxiety built up.
Stacy says she finally understands what's going on in Liz's head, and it's changed her parenting style a lot.
My expectation is for her to live and to shower. I mean, that isn't high. I mean, I would, you know, love to see her get her nursing degree or a teaching degree or anything, but that isn't where we're at anymore, and that's changed dramatically.
She says parents need to communicate more openly with kids about mental illness.
You've got these kids out here who are literally crying out for help, and none of their parents are paying any attention. And that's why we've had suicides and the kids have suicide here.
Local leaders want to show parents, teachers, and other adults how to tell the difference between normal teen stuff and signs for suicide. They're rolling out some mental health first aid trainings this fall. Sammy Kayola, Cap Radio News.
Now, if you're thinking about suicide or know someone who is, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Join us tomorrow. Sammy will take a look at seniors and the suicide rate among seniors in Amador County. And that's a look at local news on a Gold Country Wednesday morning from the KVGC News Center.
I'm JD.
Who are you?
I'm JD Geedy.
And I'm Jim Geedy reporting. Remember, for the latest news, traffic, and weather 24 hours a day, to visit our website, kvgcradio.com.